Hello, and welcome to Shine On, Sista, where you learn to shine your light in life, business, and beyond. Hello, and welcome to Shine On, Sista. Today, we have a very special guest, the one and only Ashe. And she helps people play big, live boldly, and she's really going to show you how to live from your power and manifest your vision. So she's really the one who you call, definitely who I call, when you know it's your time to move past your fear and, you know, get out of your comfort zone and to live, you know, in the place where your vision lives and your spirit really thrives. So thank you, Ashe, for being here.
Thank you, Jennifer, for having me. I'm always excited to hang out with you and play online, play on air,
right? Play in person.
Play in person. Exactly.
Yes.
Always.
So definitely people listening are visionaries. They're dreamers. They either have an idea and they haven't actioned it, or, you know, they're starting to, or maybe they're even living into it and they're kind of looking around like, this isn't what I expected. So I know you really help people with that. So, can you just give us some tips on like how to really live into your vision?
Ooh, okay.
So
how to live into your vision. I know it's such a
or step huge into it. How do you like, you know, what does that look like? Because I know you do such, you teach on it, but you also do such a great job at that, you know?
You know, one of the things I like to do is always distinguish between, and let me just tell you how I define vision.
Okay.
So there's a difference for me for what a dream is mm-hmm. and what a vision is, mm. right? There's also a difference to me when you visionize and you visualize as well. And I always say that your vision chases you and we tend to chase our dreams, right?
Yes.
So to me, how I define a vision is that real divine internal gift within you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that you know that you are, you can say, called, pulled, invoked, provoked to carry out, to translate into a tangible form, you know, in this world we live in. And it's something that is part of the DNA of our spirits, mm-hmm. it's part of the blueprint of our soul. It is who we really are, which is why when we feel it or see it or sense it, you know, sometimes our heart, you know, palpitates really fast,
yeah.
or the bumps on our back of our neck stand up, or there's just some type of connectivity where we recognize the vision because it is who we are.
Mm.
It's usually something that, you know, you are called to do, and when you try to ignore it, it doesn't allow you to rest.
Yes.
So even when you opt to do all these beautiful distractions
uh-huh.
and gonna go to the left,
uh-huh.
so you don't have to look at it, it's following you, which is why I say your vision stays after you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different than say a dream.
Okay.
And a dream could be like I want to buy a house on the ocean,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that can't be part of your vision, because maybe that is vision inspired, but sometimes it's just a dream. Like,
mm-hmm.
that's what I want to do. That's what I'm working towards. That's my hustle. That's my grind.
Kind of like pluck it out of the air.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Exactly. Plucking it out of the air. And then we kind of find ourselves chasing that dream.
Yes.
Right? Chasing that person, chasing mm-hmm. that whatever. But your vision is something that doesn't let you rest.
Yes.
And it's always reminding you that it is there because it is a part of you.
Yeah.
And people always say, well, how do I step into my vision? And it is true. There is a stepping into. However, I think it's important to realize that the vision is part of us.
Uh-huh.
So when we step into it, it's really just reflecting what we already are.
Uh-huh.
And so it's as big as we are. And we tend to diminish and minimize who we are as individuals. So
true.
That's one, how I distinguish between a vision and a dream. A vision definitely is that divine seed planted within you.
Yeah.
That, it's inspired by spirit. It's cultivated by your soul, you know, and the dream is beautiful too. I think we got to have dreams
mm-hmm.
as well, but we tend to work at it more from, like you said, something we pluck out the air, something we chase, which maybe we should or should not be chasing.
Yeah. But you'll find out really soon. So it sounds mm-hmm. like though the vision is really not a step into, but, an allowing, you know, just kind of like allowing, and would that be more
and
of the energy and aligning? beautiful word. And then I feel like, you know, just even just the term chasing a dream, like that's so common, like in the fabric of our world. So, and I feel like anybody who's like a driver and a hustler, and you know, it's like you do feel like you're chasing a dream. And like you said, a vision doesn't leave you alone. And, you know, I've been doing these interviews and that's been the course, you know, where people are like, I did this and I did that, but this thing wouldn't leave me alone. So then I just allowed it to happen, you know. And so that's completely true. I would love to know even about your journey. How did you come to do what you do today?
So, you know this, but I'll say it really quickly. I really started recognizing, and I want to say honoring, the power of the vision when I first moved abroad, right? Yes. And I share that story because it went against everything logical.
But share the story. Some people are listening don't know, and I never tire of it.
I'm going to share the story. I'm going to give the abbreviated version. So I was prepared to go to law school, taking the LSATs and all the things that I'm supposed to do.
Amazing.
And I just kept having, literally sensing within me, but also seeing this vision of me in Buenos Aires, living abroad in this country. And I didn't know anything about Buenos Aires. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about the BA. And, you know, had you told me Spain, at least I would have been like, okay, Barcelona, Madrid, you know, I can head on down to Ibiza, any of those places. You know, but I'm like, Buenos Aires, what am I going to do there? I rolled in this class teaching English as a foreign language so I can get my certificate and all this other stuff. But I still was like, what am I doing? Why am I going here? Mm-hmm. And for a minute, I put it down. Like, the vision kept like popping up. It would show up unexpectedly. It was unwelcome. And so I took on another position teaching something.
Yeah.
And the more I taught, the more miserable I felt, the more constrained I felt. And so anyway, I end up deciding I'm going to go to Buenos Aires. Pissed everybody off. My mom, she literally just said, you know, you lost your mind. Mm. You know, you're supposed to be going to law school. The one person who was really supportive was my dad. He's like, baby, as long as you got a round trip ticket and you can come back home, it's all good.
Good.
But I went, and here's the thing. I didn't have a job when I went down there. I know it sounds crazy. I know. And I am such a planner. Like, I need to be I's double, you know, dotted.
Double cross, T's, double tot.
Triple cross, right? I didn't have a job. I didn't have a place to stay, but I knew I needed to go. And I kept praying on it. And I just like, and you know, spirit's like, get you behind on a plane and go. And I did. I found my apartment in the airport at the information center.
Because you didn't even have an apartment or like a place to stay.
No, I did not.
You had a ticket to go to this foreign land, but you didn't even know where you were laying your head.
I didn't even know I was landing. So, but all I can say is that, you know, it was really like divine, like within 3 days. So I end up finding out where I was going to say. I went to this hotel that I was directed to in the information center at the airport. I got a taxi there. I didn't have a job. And I knew I only had like a literally, my mother would really beat my behind, and she knew this, $200.
Wow.
And
Period.
Period. So I was really already mad at God anyway. I'm like, you see how you have down here, just irresponsible, doesn't make sense, completely illogical, have me looking like a fool. This is a conversation I'm having with God now, you know, but I'm going to do this just so I can prove you wrong.
Oh,
and that's really why I went, so I can prove God wrong. And so God can just back up off of me, and let me do what I needed to do. And within like 3 to 4 days, things fell in place. And, you know, we can use the word miraculously, but I was just favored. I was blessed. Mm. And it was all serendipitous. It was like spirit had it all laid out. And so everything worked out from that point on. It doesn't mean I didn't have struggles and everything else like that. But I just started growing. I was there for 3 years. I stayed there for 3 years. And that is the place I say that I develop mostly a lot of my skills, my confidence, my strength, my power of discernment. Mm. Had I not gone there, I definitely would have been a different person. So that's when I started learning the power of the vision. And it was also difficult. This little black girl in Buenos Aires, I had some cultural experiences for sure. But I don't regret it. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad. And it was from that point on that I really realized that, you know, there's a power when we follow our vision and know it doesn't make sense, because I don't even have the capacity to understand what the blessing is, what the gift is, what the treasure is behind it, because usually I'm not even at that capacity
Right
now.
Yeah.
Right? Baby steps.
That's what I was going to underscore, that you were like, it didn't make sense to anyone and it didn't even make sense to me. And it even went, you know, against your planner nature. So again, like people listening, someone might have something that's nagging them right now that keeps coming up. And we've all had that experience. And it's like, don't fight it. You can't always see the whole staircase. You know, it's like you just got to take that next step. And I know that's something now that you are so great at, because, you know, I look to you always, you step out on faith, you will get the vision and move. And that's so inspiring, which is why I don't tire of that story. Even it's like, oh yeah, like that is, and it, we all know it's to be true. Like we've all had examples of stepping out on faith a little bit where you're like, oh my gosh, I was carried. Oh my goodness. So to practice continuing to do that, especially for our heart-centered entrepreneurs and our visionaries, that's what it's going to be. You have to be led. And I also like how you pointed out that, you know, even you're a parent, you know, and people around you were giving you feedback, you know, that you were crazy or unwise. And so I just think that also gives people permission to, if you are getting that in your morning meditation, in your devotion time, in your prayer time, and it keeps coming, or you feel pretty clear, you know, really clear on what's coming through, you know, sometimes people tend to like call their best girlfriend or call their parent or call, and they weren't given the vision, you know, you were. And so it's not even for everybody to always understand, but you know, you can't always get validation from other earthly beings because, you know, we're all here trying to do the best we can. But it's up to you. You know, it's up to you to really honor that vision, like you said. And I also just love the transparency of being like, I went to just like, I was mad at God and I was just going to show him how wrong he was. And I think that's cool. I think that's cool to point out, because it's like, you're not going to always feel so cheerful or so whatever, but, and this is something else about you that I super admire, is that you're like obedient that way, where it's like, all right, it was given to me. And you know, you weren't like clicking your heels like woohoo, but it's like, all right, I'll go, I'll do it, you know? And then you see, and it was a very much a character building time, which even then it wasn't like all pina coladas and beach, but you see now in hindsight how it was like the move. So
absolutely,
thank you just for sharing that, because I think that it always inspires me, and I know it's going to inspire folks listening. So where do you, because you know, you live this every day, but you also teach on it, you train on it, you weave it into everything you do, where do you see people getting tripped up on this, like on aligning and honoring their vision?
Most of the time, what I find is that we, and this is nothing new, I think we all talk about playing small. We all talk about diminishing our presence. We talk about, you know, making ourselves smaller so others can feel more comfortable. You know, we have people who we love in our life. We have people who we respect in our life that we don't want to disappoint or any of these things. Mm-hmm. And it's already difficult to, quote unquote, be obedient on your own. Yeah. It just already is. That's true. Not to incorporate people who want to give their advice, opinions, feedback, and everything else like that. And here's the thing. When we have a vision, we don't really have the tangible, physical proof.
Yeah, evidence. You don't have a PowerPoint presentation.
Right. We don't have that. We don't have the data. Right. We don't have the stats. And we are also, we've been groomed to operate that way, that, you know, if it doesn't make sense, then it doesn't make sense because it has no sense. Right.
Yeah.
But the brilliancy doesn't come that way. And that's just how things operate. Like on a greater scale, that really is not how the universe operates anyway. Nothing is linear. Nothing happens, you know, in a very orderly fashion. Right.
Yeah.
And we read about the beauty of chaos. We, you know, and we all hear about it, but we have to be able to embody it, right? Yeah. There's an intellectual component of it, but the embodiment only happens when we step forward through the fear. And fear is great, actually. It just really lets us know we're in some areas, and I'm not talking about danger fear, I'm just talking about these areas where we're called to grow.
Yeah.
Where we're called to be rooted, where we're called to be rooted and soared. Because, you know, I love that about God. You can be rooted and soared at the same time. Where we're called to find our voice, and we don't trust ourselves enough. You know, we like right when we're starting to trust ourselves and something doesn't go right, then we're like, see, told you. That wasn't going to work. See, I don't even know why I did A, B, C, X, Y, Z.
Yes.
We also have to keep in mind that how we expect things to look mm-hmm. is so minimal compared to the infinite possibilities.
Yeah.
It's like trying to learn a language. Like, we act like we know the language, but we don't. We're learning it as we go. Mm. And so it's okay that we don't understand. It's okay that it doesn't, you know, that I really need to go left so that I can progress right. Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. I really need to go east so I can get to the west. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's how it works.
Yeah.
So that's where it is. I think sometimes we try to rationalize things too much.
For
and
sure.
I get it. When we're insecure and we're not sure, we don't have the evidence, we're just like taking baby steps ourselves. So
yeah.
It's so important to be around either individuals who, if they don't even understand it, still support you, or then you got to learn how to keep some things to yourself.
That's true.
And just kind of go, as my grandma says, you got to go into that closet, go to that closet and you nurture your vision.
Yeah. Because we're so bound by our senses. And so I think that's what happens. You know, if I can't see it, taste it, plan it, then it doesn't exist. So it's true. Either have people that can hold the space, or mm-hmm. you hold your vision and trust and have, we've talked about this before, just having daily appointments, you know, with, I call it your appointment for your anointment, but, you know, to get inspired, to get that vision, to get it reinforced, you take action and then you get it reinforced again. Because sometimes you can't even articulate it. And so all of that is okay. I think that the general conversation is that it's not okay, or you're crazy, or, you know, you should have it figured out. And so what this conversation does is just give permission to allow it to be a vision, allow it to sound crazy, allow for it to not feel yummy all the time. But if it's coming from an inspired place, then it is right and good.
The other thing I just want to add really quickly, because she mentioned it about your day. What is it? You say you call it your daily appointment
with an anointment.
Yes. You know, and I have my huddles with God, my daily huddles are my. So I think one of the things I always coach on or teach on is that when you have a vision, mm-hmm. you can't try to operate from the physical world daily. Like, you have to start your day checking in with the spiritual, because that's where the vision comes from. So we also get tripped up there.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, I got to call this investor, I got to call this sponsor and everything else like that. I'm like, for real? Did you meditate up on it first? Because if you meditate and sit in the quietness, you maybe got to do something completely different. Uh-huh. And that will also help you move your vision along. So sometimes we're taking something from the spiritual, but we're only trying to come from this physical. Obviously, you got to do the physical work. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm always like, I love that. Your daily appointment with the anointment, or your daily huddles with God, or your daily, or coffee with God, whatever, spirit, the tree, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
All I'm saying is you got to create a space in the quietness before you even begin to move and work, whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes. And I believe that's just something that we have to cultivate daily.
Yes.
A regular, at least once a day.
Yeah, that's the nugget for the listeners, is create a daily practice around quieting and connecting, basically.
Yes.
And I was going to bring that up too when we were talking about the dream and the vision is, because you can either learn from like listening to a podcast, or you can learn through living it, that when you're chasing a dream or you're doing physical level only, you are not going to get the results you want to see. And so at some point you're going to stop and sit down and be quiet, or be sat down, because it's like you can either do it the easy way or the hard way. You can like take the advice, or you live it. And it gets reinforced in us every day or all the time when you're like, you know what, I didn't really pray about that, or I didn't really ask about that. I just was trying to go after this investor because my friend said she got, you know, funding. And so I tried it. When really, when you sit down and you go, you know, volunteer at an old folks home, then that it comes through there from someone's like nephew who was visiting, or
absolutely,
whatever, crazy. And so I have to be reminded all the time, and I definitely have a practice around it. But sometimes only when you get to the end of the journey of doing everything right, where you're like, oh, this wasn't sourced in anything inspired in the first place. So just wanted to highlight that.
Absolutely. Indeed.
Yes. And so I forgot to say that you're the evocateur as well. As our queen evocateur, you're always, you know, walking your talk and, you know, visioning a new vision and creating new possibilities. So right now you're actually birthing a new vision as we speak, right?
Yes.
Can you tell us about it. It's so exciting and so needed.
So yes. I like when you said, you know, you know, Asha, you're always so obedient. I'm like, yeah.
You are. You are. It's not always yummy, but you so are.
It is. So the project I'm really excited about, I will say this, it is one that definitely is a vision, and the project's called In Her Power. Woo. And, you know, I'm going to be very upfront and transparent and just say that this, it definitely chose me. I didn't choose it. And there's so many other easier paths I could take. and this is just, you know, every time I think I've stretched and grown, and I know that, you know, we can never stretch and grow enough, but when you're in the midst of it and you are being expanded, I'm like, ooh, this just feels so uncomfortable, but yet I can see the growth of it. So In Her Power has come from this huge need to really support women of color leaders. And more specifically, women of color leaders who are on the front line, in the trenches, that are supporting communities in this specific political, economical, and social climate. We are in a period where overt racism and scapegoating is huge.
Wow, yeah.
And we are being impacted by it. I think it was the American Psychology Association said for the first time ever, Americans in general are more concerned about their mental wellness than about finances. And it's always been, money's always been our number one goal, number one worry, right?
Wow.
Has always been money. But right now it's about the mental wellness. It's about our mental state. Mm. And what I'm finding is that women of color leaders that are really, whether they're working with the homeless or they're working with black and brown girls in tech or sex, any of these things, you're already in a very stressful situation.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Or for my visionary social entrepreneurs, because I'm loving them. They're coming up with innovative solutions to these social problems. So you're already in this. Already, it's already challenging. Then you're going to add all the layers to what is happening now in our political climate and our social climate, our economical climate, for you personally, as well as for your community.
Yeah.
And so what I have found, sadly, is that a lot of women of color leaders are suffering in silence. They're suffering and struggle alone with how to cope with this. The percentage of depression has increased. The percentage of pessimism has increased, hopelessness has increased, all these things. And we know that we cannot have this type of emotional impact without it also impacting us physically. So we're seeing more ailment and sickness also with women of color leaders.
Wow.
So In Her Power is a project that provides respite, residence, and it's like a sabbatical where we invite women of color leaders to come for 3 days and heal and connect and pivot and restore and replenish, because you cannot be on the front line without making sure that you replenish yourself. And I know that in general, not all of us, but in general, there's a tendency to not want to slow down.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about taking the S off the chest, but I don't know if we really have taken that super off the chest yet. You know, and they're the women of color that have actually died from flu. This just from January.
Really?
Is more alarming to me than anything, because, you know, love the women. They were doing amazing work. Just one more day. I'm just going to do it one more week. I'm going to take off next week or whatever. And then their bodies just broke down. So I feel like as a sister, it's my responsibility, but like, I got your back.
Yeah.
Right. I got your back. Like, I'm literally putting my hand on your back. And how can I do that? And doing that is being able to provide a place for people who really don't have the resources to have a sabbatical, to take a residential, and to come together. So that's one part of In Her Power, is to do that part. The other part of it is to really facilitate how women of color can really support each other. So I know we have, you know, we each have our own challenges going on right now and in our communities, but there's something powerful when we can come together collectively and to share our resources.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter whether my Latina sisters or my, you know, my Muslim sisters, my Asian sisters, like, we all need to come together as this amazing force that we are and kick butt. And that's really, you know, what In Her Power is about: resilience, wellness, and the boldness of the women of color leaders.
So needed. Thank you so much. I just, that is beautiful and it is so needed. And I just also want to underscore that this was a vision given to you and that it is, yes. You know, you just keep on walking in it and being available for the unfolding. And so I just, you know, on the outside looking in, so appreciated. I know what it is to like not know and be led, and how that and what you're up to is so big. And so it feels like, so I just have to acknowledge you, because I know it sounds so good and everyone's like, oh yeah, but it's like you really are like, I'm being led. So I appreciate it. And it is everything that you talk about. And so I just appreciate you being willing to continue to do that, because every day it just unfolds and unfolds and unfolds, and you are at the helm and just listening. You know, we all know that it's super needed. And even when you talk about like taking the S off your chest, you know, where there's these, you know, I'm always like a volunteer. So I see these women in the trenches where I, you know, come on a Saturday, but they're the ones setting it up, organizing volunteers, and they're in it every day and they're using their personal resources. And, you know, I was choking back tears when you're just talking about, you know, the women who are like, one more day, I'll just do it one more day. It's such a thankless job when you're those mm-hmm. activists and in the trenches and you're mm-hmm. the one doing it constantly. And so even if you, so for one, it's like almost becomes expected, like people breeze in and breeze out and are like, yeah, thanks. Yes. Thanks, Harriet. All right. So everyone plays a part in that, where the collective thinks it's expected, but they also think like, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. So A, there's a willingness to be like, okay, I will take off the S. If that's already a leap. And then there's also like how do I do that? Most of us aren't taught like, how do you not carry the world on your shoulders?
Absolutely.
And then there's also like how, and then when, you know, if anyone's on board with like, okay, I'll do it. I, you know, get it. It's like, well, when will I even do it? So to me, like In Her Power answers those questions. Like if you're willing to have take that time off, then In Her Power is really giving you the how and when. It's like, you can do it at this time and you'll be nurtured, you know? So I just think that's incredible.
Right. I think one of the things I didn't, that I wanted to add was the fact that, and thank you for saying it, because we do have that 3-day residential, but then we are with the leaders for at least 9 months. Like, you don't just come for 3 days.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because we go to conferences, we go to these retreats, and we feel empowered and
plug in.
Yeah. Woo. Right. Mm-hmm. But when you get back, that's really when the work begins. So it's sure. not just that 3-day sabbatical or residential. It's the beginning. That's just really the beginning of it. And then we are with you 9 months after that to really support you so that you are really creating a transformation, not just a change, but a transformation.
Yeah.
And what we want is for you to be able to model that, and also for those leaders to demonstrate it for their community and for their organization, so that that becomes the movement. We have to get to the point where we can say, you know what? No, I'm not feeling that great. Mm-hmm. So there's two things. One, we can't judge people when they be like, how are you doing? Not that great. And like, ooh, you're not. You know, I remember I shared with someone, this is years ago, but I remember I was telling her, she said, a good friend of mine's, and she said, Ashley, how are you? I'm like, you know, I'm really having a difficult day, et cetera, et cetera. And I got really emotional. And I remember her, she didn't know how to handle it. She goes, I don't know what to do with this. You never cry. And she's saying this, like, you never cry. And
you're like, so I am now, so what does that tell you?
Can you stop crying, right? And so I stopped crying to make her feel better. But we got to get to the place where it's okay, where
I agree.
We normalize the conversation that, you know what, this is hard. This is, we got to get our ego, which, you know, aside, our pride put aside. We as women got to come together and say our wellness is not optional. It's mandatory. And I know we talk about it, but we got to practice that.
You're right.
And we have women who, you know, Erica Gardner that died in December from heart attack and everything else. So we have a lot of women who put themselves on the line physically, but also their lives are literally on the line too.
Yep.
And not just these leaders. I'm gonna go right here. Some of us are mothers,
yeah.
You know, y'all that are running a business and got your side hustle and your parenting,
it's true.
And you're a caretaker. Let me tell you.
And you're the PTA or you're the church leader, choir leader.
You're everything. 80%, I'm gonna go here, 80% of Black women. One are heads of the household. They're single parents, and they also are either caring for an aging parent or a family member or someone else's child on top of whatever else that they're doing.
Wow.
And so, you know, and it's saying that women of color is this is very common for women of color. When we look at some of our white counterparts, our stresses and demands are much higher. Therefore, us, okay, then we have to take more time out for ourselves.
Yeah.
And I just feel that as part of this community, that my responsibility is like, you know what? I love the work you're doing. I need for you to continue to do that work because you're doing amazing work. So therefore, I'm going to support you by supporting you.
Right? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like, girl, you need to rest. Like, well, who's going to help carry the load? Will you? Like, yeah, it is. What I'm hearing you say is almost like making that the culture, you know, creating a movement and a culture of bringing voice to when you're stressed and overwhelmed, you know, that used to not be okay. So letting that be okay. And then part of that is also being received in such a way that is okay. So A, being the person who's stressed out and overwhelmed, saying it, and then also the community also needs to accept that and allow it and step up. And when we can share responsibility and share the load, then it's not heavy on any individual. So I like too that people can come to In Her Power, and then you're teaching folks how to do all of that and carry it back to their communities, whether that community is their kids, whether it's their church, whether it's their book club.
Yes.
Or their organization, and creating a culture of that, like, self-care, because it isn't optional and we are losing people and it doesn't have to be that way.
It is a huge epidemic. And here's the reality. The world stands in our power. That's why I called it In Her Power. It is in her power that communities are being transformed. It's in her power, right? That we're growing and that we're healing. It's in her power. So we have to stand with her, the her being you, me, and all our other sisters, and celebrate that. And I'm not talking about that we're coming from a place of victimhood. That's not what I'm saying. We're just absolutely saying that we're coming from a place of honoring who we are.
Yes.
And
honoring.
And we're taking authority, we're taking dominion and saying that we are going to restore. As we're going to continue to pour out, then we got to fill up. And
yeah.
That's just, you know,
that's just
what we
got to
do. It's physics, yes.
That's the other thing about Ashay. She's going to give you the spiritual, she's going to give you the scientific, across the board, academic, all of it. Great. So we will be looking out for In Her Power, because anyone listening can benefit or can refer someone who, you know, we all get someone in mind of who this is really, really for. And so I just appreciate you again creating that space and for being led. Because again, I know that's not easy, but it's so needed.
Ooh, it is not easy. And so for all my visionaries out there, I just want to say, I feel you.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, people do that. It's supposed to. It's supposed to feel. It's supposed to be. So it's an example of, if you keep getting a vision, it's not always going to feel easy, or you're not going to know where all your resources are going to come from, or you may not know what the next five ideas are. You just might have been given the vision and you take one step the next day, and just know it's not going to always feel yummy or easy. And it's not, oh, well, if it doesn't, I'm not supposed to do it. It's just that you're going to really, you know, need to be led. And that's when the magic really happens. You know, you'll look back and say, yeah. It was divine.
Unlike a dream, your vision also is where you grow, right? It is a character building, but it's a spiritual building as well. Yes. And so it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to stretch you. It's going to feel bigger than you, even though it's not bigger than you, because you are it. It's going to feel all these things. We're going to have all these narratives around it. But this is where our healing is. This is where our blessings are. So it's profound and deep.
Yeah.
So those that are doing it and following your vision, just know that, And then you said something about the magical. So part of that is like, yeah, you just have to keep moving, because then all of a sudden things will just appear, quote, out of nowhere. Things will just serendipitously happen and, you know, all those other magical things. So it'll all come together.
Yeah. And it's important to find people who are living in that space. So if you're surrounded by people of who breathe life into impossibility, you don't have to kick them out of your life, but you also don't have to share this vision. And so Ashay is creating a space. Find a space where this is the conversation and this is what the new normal is of living in possibility. No one's going to ask you your 10-year plan. They're just going to hold space and incorporate it into their daily vision and holding space for you.
Exactly. I think it's important to be okay not to share with everyone. I have two very people, very, very close to me, who know nothing about what I'm doing.
Okay.
Nothing, nothing. And I've gotten, you know, one of the things I've learned, I've gotten really good with not sharing certain details. It's okay to have boundaries, and certain things shouldn't be shared because they will just also deplete you.
Yeah.
You're already putting in all your energy. I mean, it'll wear you out when you're growing and pivoting and stuff. You don't need to talk to someone else that's going to, you got to try and explain something to them and break it down. That's not what you need right now.
You can't. And yeah, I'm like, I'm sensitive. So I can't, I know I can't receive a negative because I know I can't carry like your doubt and my doubt, you know? So it's like,
exactly.
let me just get plugged in and infused. And when I got a little more footing, then
we can talk.
Right. But definitely, you know, Ashe is this for me for sure. It is nice to have people who can get you and who will accept you no matter what. So if you can find that, great. Otherwise, you have, I'm gesturing to my altar right here. You have places to go.
Yes.
But yeah, not everyone can be trusted with your vision. But if you can get a sister or two who is, like I have Ashe, that is a blessing. So yes. Since this is Shine On Sista, I would love to know where you feel in life or business where you shine the brightest.
Where do I shine the brightest?
You're shining right now.
You know, honestly, I feel like where I shine the brightest when I can actually hold the light over on other folks. It doesn't mean that I'm dimming my light.
Right.
But I know what I'm called to do. Mm-hmm. I'm called to hold people accountable. Mm-hmm. I'm called to read through the story. Okay, that's mm-hmm. your narrative. Now let's get to the truth. This is what you're called to do. Mm. And I feel like that's where my healing comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And when I don't do that, I'm very much restless and I may try to do other things, but mm-hmm. it's not that fulfilling. So I shine the most when I can help others shine up on themselves and to walk the rhythm of their gifts unapologetically. And as bold as they dare, and if they're not daring enough, then I'm going to help them, you know, be a little bit bolder. Like that's what I do. I kind of ease them into the boldness on even a different level.
Yes. Thank goodness for you.
So, and you know, I just see the truth of people and I totally get the stories we tell each other or tell ourselves more specifically.
Right.
And I'm going to hear it. And then I'm going to be like, okay, now let's get to the truth.
Uh-huh.
Let's get to your brilliance. Let's get to your boldness. Let's get to your power. Let's get to all that you're called to do. And then I'm going to hold you there. And I'm going to support you.
Yes.
That's where I shine my brightest.
I feel like I even heard a mic drop. So maybe it's just an energetic mic drop, like boom. It's true. I know that to be true. So any final thoughts before we wrap up and talk about where we can find out more about you? Anything else on your heart that we just need to know?
You know, I'm just like, you know, I'm gonna get a little overwhelmed. I think there was the woman Maria Franco who was assassinated March 18th. And Jennifer, you know, I do a lot of work in Brazil
as well. Yep.
And I work with a lot of activists and leaders in Brazil as well. And I'm just so, I'm absolutely grateful for women and the women of color who just have decided that I'm going to disrupt whatever the BS that is. I'm going to disrupt whatever no longer serves me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to disrupt what I know is not honoring of myself or communities. And that can be on any level. It can be whether you start individually within your own nucleus, mm-hmm. right? And you decide this is what this, I'm breaking the cycle here in this family. I'm breaking the cycle with myself.
Mm.
And then even doing it on a community level or a state level mm-hmm. or not, it doesn't really matter. I'm absolutely honored that to be walking amidst mm-hmm. these great, powerful beings, these soulful giants.
Yeah.
And I have to implore that we decide that we are enough mm-hmm. to take care of ourselves. This is definitely the time to heal the healers and that we allow ourselves to be healed, that we allow ourselves to be carried, that we find a place, time, and individual that can honor us there. And those that can't, they need to be gone. I'm
mm-hmm.
sorry. You need to move them out of the inner circle to that outer circle. We are in a time where we don't have time for the BS of distractions, but we also don't have time to keep putting ourselves last.
Yeah.
And the epidemic with the women of color and their health issues.
Yeah.
We struggle. Mm-hmm. And part of our responsibility, there's one of the women, she's a senator. Her name is Holly Mitchell. And I was speaking with her 2-3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And when she was speaking, she said, the very first thing I've learned to do is to take care of myself first.
Wow.
Like that's my calling. I have to take care of myself first before I even go out and talk to my community or anyone else. And I just really, really, really want to encourage people to do that. That's one. And then I also want to give you permission, if you need anyone, to follow your vision.
Okay.
even if it doesn't feel good or it's not going in the right direction, just know it's actually going where it should be. Mm. It's not that your vision needs to pivot, mm-hmm. it's you need to pivot the way you think. Mm. You need to pivot how you think it should look, and you can just let it go. So I really want to support and encourage women to be with the vision and trust the vision, because it is yourself, and just allow that to lead. So that's what I just want to end with.
Thank you.
Happy to be part of this community.
Yes, thank you so much. And just even you saying that about the senator of, you know, taking care of herself first, I was like, that does sound revolutionary to me, who that is not my default or what I was taught. So it's like, that is its own revolution in that,
yes.
You know, even if we all just took care of ourselves, like how incredible would that be? And just hearing that it's really a matter of life and death at this point, of it's not optional. So that's just really important for everyone to hear, because no matter who's listening in, whether it's a man, a woman, a leader, a teenager, we can see how now we can look at our neighbor and see what they might be dealing with and how we could even interact with each other in a different way, because we're all up against a lot. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that so much, and just again showing up the way you do in the world. So obviously you're a fan of Ashe now, and you're going to want to follow her journey and see what new visions are popping up. You can follow her journey. Well, her website is iamboldacious.com. No surprise there. Mm-hmm. And you can also follow the In Her Power journey at inherpower.rocks. Yes, yep. That is a domain, and that is a powerful domain. And then also, you can follow her on Instagram at I_am_boldacious. We'll put that in the show notes. And then also in_her_power on Instagram as well. So definitely follow her journey, because she is doing amazing work in the world. Awesome. Well, thank you, Ashe, so much for joining.
Thank you, Jennifer, for having me. Thank you for the platform. Thank you for doing this. So blessed and grateful to have you, as all your listeners and clients are as well. I'm a huge fan. So thank you again. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You know, I wouldn't like be here without you. So I just reflect the love back, and we'll definitely have to have you on again.
All right.
Sounds good. And if you loved that episode and you want to dive deeper into how to launch your soul-centered business online, I created a free training just for you. Go to jennifercovington.com/freebie and you can snag that training now. That's jennifercovington.com/freebie and you will be ready to go.